are listening to the gorgeous music from Dimitri Matheny. Album is Cascadia, and the name of the piece is Evergreen Girl. Remember the name of the piece. You'll see why in a minute or two. Why would I play Dimitri? Because I really like his music, and because he's part of the Seaside Jazz and Blues Festival, which starts tonight, 7:30 p.m., with the Norman Sylvester Band. It's all happening at the Seaside Convention Center. Tomorrow, 11:45, Seaside High School Jazz Band tribute, and this is the whole festival is to honor the memory of Kyle Rieger, a beloved first-year teacher. We just learned last week. Our new jazz folks in town, Carrie Bond, told us about it last week. They talked to the community, and the community said, yes, please, let's honor him. So it's a tribute. And then the Mary Catterley Trio at 1, Astoria Jazz Collective 2:30. This is a great festival, folks. I gave away some tickets last week. I don't know if we still have some. Dimitri Matheny's at 4, Red String Theory at 5:30, Lloyd Jones Struggle at 7, and it closes with Marilyn Keller and True Friends, 8:30 to 9:30. Seaside138.com for tickets and all the information you need. Dimitri Matheny plays in the area sometimes. And he's been on the show. Lovely, lovely person. I've got... Oh, wait, we're not ready yet. Oh, I've just been set up, but you didn't hear that, folks. Well, wait 1 second and you can get back to that. First, I just want to dedicate the show very quickly, very clearly. The show is Arts Live and Local, Art for Healing and Resistance. Art saves lives. And I also want to give a big thank you, personal thank you, to the Napa Fire Department and to our local 911 service. Folks, you never know when you might need them. It's good they're here, lucky for us. Special healing wishes to Hope and Gina, Stephanie and Issa, Jan and Lulu Hamp, Janet, Noel, Luann, Karen, Jean, and Carl, Tom, Steve, Ted, Mary Beth. I think Quiet Dog's doing pretty well now. Hope so. And to Patty. Healing to them all. And to you and me, because we all need healing, especially these days. It's certainly compounded by all else going on. So, excuse me, what was the name of that song? Oh, wait. What was the name of that song? It was Evergreen Girl.
Yay.
And I have three lovely and talented artists here in the room to tell you why I may have chosen that particular piece. So we'll start with Agnes Field, who is the curator of a new show. It's not open yet. As a matter of fact, it's It's at the Astoria Visual Arts at its still pretty new location, 959 Commercial, just around the corner from the old location. And the show is Under the Sun, Over the Moon, Hues of
Green.
Green! What a coincidence.
What a coincidence.
Isn't it nice when artists all come together that way? So Agnes Field, artist and curator, and Rachel Siegel, also artist and board member.
I've done my 2 years of service, and I've handed it over, and now okay. I'm spending my time making more art.
Just making art, okay. And yes. Our third artist and guest is Jenny Lovell. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi.
So we figured out, I really had not met Jenny before, except I sort of had, because we have a very strong connection. So, Jenny, you haven't been on Arts before.
No.
Have you been on KMUN at all?
I used to volunteer here about 6 years ago.
Really? What did you do?
7 years ago. I sat at the desk.
Did you? Okay, yes. Well, that's it then. You qualify. Jenny's only a single virgin then. She's good. Good to go. Well, it's delightful to have you here, all three of you. There are a bunch more artists involved in this show, which opens on the 11th of April, runs through the 3rd of May. I believe this is the last weekend for the Courage show. Is that correct?
This is the last weekend for the Courage show in conjunction with Rain Magazine. It's a wonderful show. If you haven't had a chance to get down and see it yet, please go and take a look.
Right. It's art, visual arts, and poetry, and together, apart. It's very exciting. And the address, again, is 959 Commercial. It's just west of 10th Street. So, Agnes, why don't you tell us about this show?
Well, this show, the gallery itself is one of the projects for the nonprofit Astoria Visual Arts, astoriavisualarts.org, if you want to know more about the organization. We've been working in the community since 1989, off and on, most of the time, with many different projects. One of the current projects that are upcoming, I just wanted to mention this in case you have not heard about it, is the Coastal Oregon Artist Residency Program, which is really a wonderful opportunity for artists. It closes for the applications on May 3rd. It's a four-month program with a $1,000 stipend, artist stipend, and two artists are selected to work with the transfer station in Astoria to make work out of recycled materials. So it's really a project that's close to my heart and a wonderful opportunity for artists to get involved in it, which includes an exhibit at the end of their residency.
And
so
amazing.
Any of you out there who want to apply, please apply. The deadline closes on May 3rd, so go on to astoriavisualarts.org and take a look at some of the requirements and so on. You'll get everything you need there.
And I want to add, Agnes put it in very nice terms. I'll just say, if you ever like to play in the garbage, this is for you. It is incredible. You put on a hard hat, big gloves, a whole, and you get out there and you dig in the transfer station.
Well, you never know what you're going to find. You find treasures as
Amazing.
Amazing
and
things
that
people...
And the art that comes out of that.
It's wonderful. It's really a very exciting show. So I highly recommend it for artists who are interested in making things out of recycled material.
Go to the website. Find out.
Can I add something?
Yes.
One of our artists in our show did the residency.
Dawn
Stetzel.
She was on this show that time.
Right.
That was early on.
Her work's amazing.
And
yes,
she's only, she is a tiny woman, and some of the work she did was humongous. And it was like, how could you possibly even put that together? Mm-hmm. So whoever the website, check it out and
Astoria Visual Arts, the gallery is one of the projects for the organization. And we've been doing the Earth Day exhibit now for, over 10 years for sure. And I have been involved off and on all through that time. But next year, it's going to probably be an open call because we have so many people, so many artists who believe strongly in green recycling, renewables, and want to participate that I think we need to get more artists involved. This particular show has seven artists. I'm going to talk a little bit about the artists who are not here to talk about their own work. Nick Breakhill is from Portland. He actually was a nurse. He graduated from the University of Wisconsin and was working and had a very severe concussion work-related accident. And he had always painted, but during his rehabilitation, he started painting a lot more and has basically stopped nursing and has become a full-time landscape artist. And much of his work is very, it's based in nature, but it's very visionary nature. It's very graphic and moving and so on and so forth. And you can see that he's a young painter getting involved, but it's very exciting to see how he's made progress. So the other person is Christy Mooney, who is an artist from outside the area also. And she primarily is known for her watercolor batiks. We included her photograph for the card of the exhibit. We will include images from the other artists in the poster for the exhibit. But her work is based on watercolor batik, which is kind of unusual. She does this batik process, and then she paints over the top of the image. And this particular one that's included in the show is called Nurse Tree. It's about the kind of life that develops around a very large tree. So it's quite wonderful and very striking work. Don Stetzel, which we already talked about, has been involved in many recycled materials. She has been working in the community for over 20 years, does wonderful installation work, including using her body as part of her expression and performance. She's very exciting. This particular time, she is working with houselessness.
Oh, good.
And how the environment influences the loss of dwelling and resources and so on. So she'll be putting together that installation. She'll have some help from a friend, too, because she has big, heavy things to carry
in. You know, it's a good thing you moved to the new gallery.
Because it's bigger space. It's a bigger space, so we have room for Dawn.
That's right.
And so she will be doing that. We also have Leaf Songs, which is inspired by the poetry from the Snohomish tribe. It's primarily the artist Christy Harrison, but we just use Leaf Songs as her advertisement. But she constructs things out of natural materials, primarily leaves, and then writes poetry around these small little leaf poetry songs. And they're quite wonderful. And I hope you get a chance to see them. We'll also have a few other people who are not included in this. Emily Miller and a few other artists who just have things that happen to correspond with the exhibit. It's hard to say no to someone.
Absolutely.
It's hard to say no.
It's a wonderful tradition to celebrate Earth Day with art at the AVA. And I like the idea, again, now that you have so much space, you can open it up to more artists.
To more artists.
Yeah, which is terrific.
We'll also have some music by the Beat Greens, Ray and Sebo. We'll be playing some music, and we'll have some refreshments. And so please come and join us and help us sort of celebrate the green nature that reminds us not to lose hope and the ability to transform our environment, we hope. Okay?
So
I'm going to turn it over to...
But what are you showing?
I'm going to be showing some of my work, primarily repurposed materials, some things that are wall pieces. I'm planning to build... Now, This is what is wrong with doing installation. You never know what you're going to end up getting.
Right.
But yes. I'm trying to build or planning to build a moss mountain for the window.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be
I
fun,
love
and
it.
I'll have some help with that.
Okay, folks. It's a big window.
It's a very big window.
And that's perfect. And now that Agnes Field has made a commitment on the radio, she, of course,
no,
will
I have
follow
to do it.
Through.
I'm but sure. we never know what's going to happen.
That's
but
true.
Although, bring your moss here now.
We've
well,
seen.
I have plenty of moss where I live. I live in a mossy area.
Even don't
and
we all?
And then I recycle it and I put it back out in the woods after I'm finished with it.
That,
so
perfect.
It's not like
I'll never forget Jessica's
yes.
trees in the old AVA,
yes.
which wasn't very big compared
yes.
to the new space.
Well, I always love having Jessica involved.
Yeah.
And at some point, we'll have an Earth Day reunion with all of the artists
oh.
who have ever been involved.
Oh, my goodness.
in Earth Day, which would be a hoot.
That would be lovely. Okay, so this is a week from tomorrow is Second Saturday Art Walk in Astoria. This week is Gearhart and
Seaside.
Mm-hmm. 2 to 5 and 5 to 7. But next week at the AVA, now.
5 to 7.
Usually
when the artists and people show.
For AVA too?
Yeah, 5 to 7
okay.
usually is when
okay.
artists show up for to ever greet
since,
people.
Ever since
but
COVID.
The gallery will be open at noon.
Yeah.
But noon to 8.
Noon to 8. That's
right.
the. That's what happened during COVID. It used to be 5 to 8. Then it went to 12 to 8, spread the people out. And now we like to be together again. So, okay, well, that's quite a variety, too, including the beet greens, which is cute. Never heard of them. Maybe.
Sure.
Rachel, take it away.
Thank you, Carol. I will be showing some photographs that I have made in my studio based on meditative walks. They're mandalas. And I had made a few of these inspired by another show. I was invited to the Sacred Object Show.
Yes. Yes.
And that started the process of me going out and collecting items from nature and then bringing them in the studio and creating the mandalas and photographing them. And so I've got them on themes, and there's a forest theme of going into the forest. And I do try to return my items
also,
after
yes.
I make my mandalas as well. And one of the other themes are invasives. I'm in my garden. Mm. I've been making ones on harvest and the invasives too. So I have some weed mandalas as well, and also things that I collect at the seaside. And so you'll see a few of these different series. I don't have all of, I have some more series, but what I'm showing primarily has to do with the forest. And then some of these weeds. And there's a lot of conflict for me between these things that grow so fervently
yeah.
and
yeah.
are just beautiful, but
yes.
they're problematic. And so.
Well, they're problematic for somebody else.
Yeah.
Other plants. But the invasives, they're called invasives. But sometimes one of my favorites, and I don't know if it's an original, like a native plant, or an invasive, quote unquote. I don't like that word anyway. Is skunk cabbage.
Interesting.
On my place, right by my house, they were huge, with huge yellow flowers, humongous leaves. And then somebody came to clear out the ditch, excuse me, the creek, and he mowed them all down, and I was like, they'll grow back. Are you kidding? These always grow back. Well, it's never been the same, so I miss them.
Yeah.
So it's really, but
well,
there are some things.
Some of them are beneficial, some of
yeah.
them are not, and what we call weeds, and, you
right.
know, it's a complicated, that's, I'm
yeah.
very conflicted. It's
right.
a complicated
right.
subject matter, but we are trying to rework our land and put natives in. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm pulling out things like knotweed, which I think is beautiful, but it's terrible for the soil. It's erosive as well. Yeah. And blackberry, which is yummy to eat, right. But they're problematic
so
too.
That's the thing is, we have to make value judgments.
Yes.
And if we could say to the blackberries, please, stay over there. The same thing goes for the nettles. I have nettles. I've always had them. However, they are now inside my blueberry patch. That is a problem for me.
That.
Yeah. And so I suit up and et cetera. But I'm looking forward to seeing all the, see if I can tell which are the negative,
yes.
which are the positive, and why each is
or bring your own judgment. I'm trying to just celebrate it all and deal with it all. And
good.
So that's those will be the part of the life cycle.
Nice.
They all are.
Sounds good,
and
Rachel
that's
Siegel.
What mandalas are about.
And my last guest today is Jenny Lovold. And
like old paper and how they used 50s and 60s propaganda to kind of shape what our country has become. So I go back through the magazines and I rework them in order to have a more accurate portrayal of like where we are.
Rework like a collage?
So I cut them all up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I cut them all up and because the illustrations are beautiful. The idea was beautiful, but what they say was not great. So
yeah.
It's a way to communicate with people from that period. Because they understood that literature, they understood that verbal language, but it wasn't about deforestation. It wasn't about, gun control. It wasn't about any of the things that I am kind of into. So I've taken a Life magazine, which was all about the natural world. And so I tried to work from one source and show what actually happened with our natural world.
Wow.
So
nice.
It's kind of fun, and there's a lot of colored toilet paper because I'm fascinated with colored toilet paper. It's kind of like my
I'm not familiar with colored
toilet. Well, they had it for a long time in the 60s. They just tried to make everything really pretty and over-decorated.
With chemical dyes.
With chemicals.
Great.
I have a colored toilet paper collection.
Oh, wow. What a trip. I love
it. I work in vintage, and so...
Okay, as long as you don't use it on your body.
I've just been fascinated by it for a long time because it's like art, and it's like, that's not art.
No. Well,
they called it art.
You know, it's funny, though, because Rachel was just talking about the knotweed being corrosive to the soil, which I was not aware of, and now you talk to us about colored toilet paper. I won't even wear colored underwear, and now it's toilet paper. Holy. Okay, folks, you never know what you're going to get on KMUN.org, or especially on the art.
Well, I remember toilet paper with patterns.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it was all white, which was also a dye, bleached.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the idea that we have images of things, and we need trees, and then we have... They tried to sell us beautiful toilet paper instead of actual trees. And that kind of disconnect is what I explore in my work because it's interesting to me.
I can't wait to see it. That's,
the whole thing isn't about colored toilet paper, but it's kind of a...
No, but that sets the bar.
Yeah,
we're
it
good
rolls
for
through.
That. There you go. Jenny, just since you haven't been here before, what's your background in... Has art been part of your life?
Or? Yeah, I've been making the same things for about 25 years. I try to make things sustainable, and magazines were always there, and razor blades, and, so it kept me, when I had kids, it's easy to clean up and put away, and so I've been working with that for about 25 years, and before that, I was a history major, but then I went to school for media. And I was never going to work in that field.
Yeah.
And so I've just been a vintage dealer.
Well, but it's interesting how that brought your awareness so clear.
Too much.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't think it's too much. I think it's accurate, probably.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, folks, that's the diversity of this show. You thought you were just going to get a pretty picture. No, you didn't. Not at the AVA, please. Under the sun, over the moon, hues of green. The show opens next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. The 11th of April goes through May 3rd. AVA is now at, that's Astoria Visual Arts, at 959 Commercial. Don't forget to go to the website, astoriavisualarts.org, and check out that core stuff. It's quite something, and you never know what's going to happen. I bet Jenny would have been good at that way back. So, green. I love it. The color and idea.
We want you green.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you so much. And my guests.
Thank you.
Jenny Lovell.
Thank
Rachel
you, Carol.
Siegel.
Thank you, Carol,
Agnes
so much.
Field. Thank you.
Thank you.
I can't wait to see your stuff. Okay, take care.
Bye.
Stay tuned, KMUN.org, or wherever you listen, hopefully on the radio. And I've got some music for you here, which I'm hopeful is going to play. And then I've got more guests. And let's give it a try. This is a new artist to me, Joe Troop, T-R-O-O-P, and the Truth Machine. Well, let's see about Joe. Well, you might not get to hear Joe, but you might if you're lucky. I just was listening to him, and it was quite... Okay, well, we will get back to him. In the meantime, I have something that you may be familiar with. Let's have a listen.
She is not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here, at our sea-washed sunset gates, shall stand a mighty woman with a torch, whose flame is the imprisoned lightning, and her name, Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that twin cities frame. Keep, ancient lands, your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips.
Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp
beside the golden
I'm Arthur Wasco. Nowadays, I'm a rabbi. In the summer of 1964, I was working on the edge of the Democratic National Convention in Atlantic City, and I was singing songs on the boardwalk with Fannie Lou Hamer of Mississippi. I can still hear Fannie Lou Hamer's versions of those old black songs of Exodus. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills
and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain to let my people go.
Why were we there on the boardwalk anyway? Well, the Freedom Democrats of Mississippi had gathered. They were a mostly black group led by Fannie Lou Hamer, who had won alternative freedom elections held that summer because Mississippi wouldn't allow black Americans to vote. They had come to win official credentials as the real Democratic Party of Mississippi in the Democratic National Convention, and they had asked 7 or 8 former congressional LAs, legislative assistants, to come help them to gain those official credentials.
Well, folks, you know Linda where Johnson this is going. You may have even heard it before. If you haven't, catch me another time. But it's all about voting rights. What do you think? Yeah, sounds pretty relevant. We're talking 60 years, and here we still are, totally messed up. But we can do this. We must do this. We must make things happen. So, my next guest is another person who makes things happen, and at a different venue, an important venue here in Astoria, and that's the Columbia River Maritime Museum. Julia Triesenberg is here. Hi, Julia.
Hi.
And your official title is Education
Supervisor.
Supervisor, right. You've been there a while and changing jobs every now and then.
I have been, yeah. I started at Columbia River Maritime Museum in 2019 doing the family programs and field trips.
Right.
And then I've transitioned to adult education for the last almost 4 years.
But you like it.
I love it. Okay. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. Yeah. Monthly workshops and right. lectures and
right.
now artist residencies.
That's great.
It's very
and
exciting.
You get to do all this stuff in person. I first met Julia online because she was doing lecture type demonstrations for the senior center folks Zooming during COVID. So it's a pleasure. Well, right now, she's got something to tell us about, which sounds amazing. So I'm going to hand it over to you, this artist residency, but it's quite unusual. Tell us about it.
Thank you. This is the first time that the Maritime Museum has coordinated an artist residency before. We're really lucky to have funding from Oregon Cultural Trust, Clatsop County Cultural Coalition, Roundhouse Foundation, Oregon Community Foundation, wow. Northwest Oregon Works. There's so many different people coming together to make this happen. And the theme for the residency for summer of 26 is transformation. So we're thinking about the way that the campus on the Astoria Riverwalk is transforming, right? We have the Warnock Building and Mariners Hall being constructed. And it's prompting a lot of other conversations about what it means to transform and evolve. And so we're hoping that this artist residency will be an opportunity to explore that for us and thinking about how we transform through our maritime heritage, but also give a local artist an opportunity to collaborate with us, and we'll benefit from their experience and artistic talent as well.
So are you going to be instructing people on what this means, what the parameters are? Because it sounded quite amazing. We don't give numbers here, but it's a large stipend, more than most organizations, because this museum, the best in the West, so they get to bring in money to the community, and they're passing it on to an artist. Transformation, can that mean anything, or...
Yeah, we're keeping it very broad. We do, of course, want it to be in some way related to maritime heritage.
Right.
But again, that can be a bunch of different things. That could relate to ecology and environmental health. That could be the Astoria waterfront has changed over the years. Mm-hmm. That could be more, regional changes, right? Maybe thinking about the North Oregon coast, larger Pacific Northwest. It really is intended to be as broad as possible because this is such an experimental project.
Yeah.
So we're happy keep ourselves open to the possibilities.
Yeah. So did you come up with the concept and then apply for grants, or did someone from, her head.
Yep. I personally have been wanting to host an artist residency for several years at the museum. It's been a goal of mine. And we just were lucky to be able to apply for grant funding from each of those organizations I mentioned and received funding to offer this stipend, because it was really important to me that we not just offer an opportunity to collaborate, but we financially compensate the artists for their work.
Thank you. We're trying to get artists paid so they can live their lives as artists. Okay. Now, is there a time... how long is the residency? Is that a set time?
So we have 2 weeks set aside, but it's a 1 week intensive. So the candidate would choose which week is best for them. And that would be either July 12 through 18 or the 19th through 25th. So it's midsummer. Basically, there'd be a 1 week intensive period on the museum's campus, working with different staff members, engaging in programming, seeing the collection. And then after that, we have this 8 to 10 week period where the artists can create at their own discretion.
Okay.
Yep.
That makes so much more sense. I'm thinking in 1 week, somebody's going to do everything.
No, that would be overwhelming. Yeah, I wouldn't want to do that to anyone.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to do that to anyone.
Okay.
So there will be a period of time where they can create at their leisure, as their schedule allows. And then the ultimate goal is to be able to have whatever work it is on display in conjunction with the opening of the Warnock Building, which is set to open in October of this year.
Okay.
Yep.
And how do people get the information, application, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. There is an application on our website, so that's crmm.org. And on the top banner, you'll go to the education tab, and there's a drop down for artist residency.
Okay.
And that has all the information on there, as well as the link to apply.
And what's the phone number at the museum in case somebody says, I'm having trouble connecting?
No problem. The museum's phone number is 503-325-2323.
Yeah. Pretty basic. Can't miss it.
No. So.
And you know what's funny? Right now, on the 10th of April, at the Larson Center, the Astoria Conservatory is doing, their show choir is performing The Age of Transformation. So I thought, whoa,
it's
transformation
perfect.
Is a happening thing. Did I read something about a diamond jubilee happening at the Maritime Museum? What's that?
Yeah, so the Lightship Columbia is actually celebrating this April, next week. It's going to be celebrating 75th anniversary of being put at the mouth of the Columbia River. So it was, if I'm remembering correctly, it was April 9th, 1951, when it was officially stationed at the mouth of the river. And so we're doing a series of events over the next month, a couple of behind-the-scenes tours of Lightship Columbia. That will be the 9th, 10th, and 11th. You can choose which day you want to go and get kind of a special walkthrough.
That's April?
Yes, April 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Is that open to the public or membership or what?
It is open to the public, yep.
Okay, folks, you definitely want to go to the website.
Yes.
I'm sure it's there, yes?
It is, and we actually just posted about it recently on Facebook, too.
Okay. Well, I don't even know where I saw it because I'm not on Facebook, but that's terrific. Okay, I'm going to let Julia go because she has just given us this huge tidbit here. Folks, take a look and think about it. If you live here, there's a reason you're still here, and there must be something in your heart. If you're an artist, I think there's going to be a lot of competition, so start thinking and take advantage at the Columbia River Maritime Museum. So the website again is just
crmm.org.
Simple as could be. And check the website also for all the workshops they do there. It is a very busy, rich place. And needless to say, it's an org, which means it's another wonderful nonprofit, and you can become a proud member of the museum. Thanks so much, Julia. Thanks for everything you're doing. And congratulations on making this happen.
Thank Woo! You. Thank you so much for
wonderful.
Having me.
Okay. Now I'm going to play an old-fashioned CD for you and bring in my last guests. Jim Page.
There are things to come and things to pass, pure and simple, made of glass. To feed the future, you weed through the past, to make it fast, make it last.
The time is now, now is the time.
Come and time has gone to pick up roots, to move along, to rise up early before the dawn, to start out standing, come on strong.
The time is now.
Now,
now is the time.
Those words alone are enough to make this song worthwhile. But Jim Page from Seattle puts out fantastic, timely music. When he says now is the time, he means it. And so do I. So I hope you're all participating in some way or another, including the arts. Well, my last guests are here from Cannon Beach, and one of my favorite festivals is happening. Is it already? A couple of weeks from now. We have a little bit of time. Tracy Abel is here from the Tolovana Arts Colony to tell us about Get Lit at the Beach. Lit refers to literature. Sorry, folks. Au contraire, the guests this year are incredible, too. Well, it always is. Every year is amazing. So, but also with us, and she's going to come right up to the microphone, is Alan Cantor from the White Bird Gallery, the owner of the White Bird Gallery in Cannon Beach. And, wow, I've known both these people for quite a long time and changed through life because she is an artist. And then somewhere along the way, she got brave and said yes when she was asked to take over the White Bird Gallery, which is a magnificent place. So thank you both for coming. Tracy, why don't you start and tell us first about Get Lit, and then, I've got lots of goodies they brought, too. And, oh, my God, spring unveiling is coming up, too, so you can mention. Tell us.
Yeah, so we're celebrating our 12th year, actually. If we didn't have to skip three for COVID, we would be
15th.
Like 15th year. Yeah. Wow. But we have a great lineup of authors, all females this year.
Yeah, I noticed that. Mm-hmm. First time.
Yeah, first time. Terry Brooks will still be there as the master of ceremonies. Right. And the schedule is...
Not female. Go on.
Right. And so we'll start with the reception on Friday. And then we will move into the author's talks on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we have the open, and then we have the keynote and dinner on Saturday evening.
Right.
And then the Q&A on Sunday at the Coaster Theater.
Which is open to the public.
Open to the public.
Yeah,
correct.
This is a ticketed affair, but the Sunday is open to the public. And anybody can buy a ticket, of course. It's a wonderful festival because these. Authors are renowned authors and quite diverse. I was reading about, I was just going to scan it, but I started reading. I couldn't stop because I thought, wow, this is very cool. How do they apply, or do you know you want certain people, or how does this work?
Well, it used to be that we would draw, well, we still do. We just try to draw from local Northwest authors.
Mm-hmm.
And then Terry Brooks and his wife, Judine, were part of a book club. And so many of the authors came from that.
Right.
And then Maureen Schroff and Deb Mercer, who own Cannon Beach Book Company, mm-hmm. previously owned by Val Ryan.
Yes.
They always collaborated on getting the authors as well. So that's sort of, you know, it kind of be, and then we kind of cold call some of the authors, and we also enlist other authors to sort of tell other authors what a great event
exactly.
it is. So yeah,
what did Ursula Le Guin? I happened to be there one of the times I went. Ursula Le Guin was the keynote speaker, and I think she said, "This is the best party I've ever been to."
You did. We use her quote quite often.
I think it's worthwhile, but it is. How can anybody say no? Coming to Cannon Beach and having a fabulous time with people who want to hear and see you, it's quite wonderful. So how do people, what do they do to find out more about it and get tickets if they want?
To go to our website, it's www.getlitatthebeach.com. And there is a ticket link that you can click on.
Okay. Okay. And again, that is happening April 17 to 19. You can get tickets for the part you want. And check it out. And if you can't make it this year, check in next year. Hopefully, there'll be energy to keep it going for a long time. And then, what is happening with these two amazing folks whose last name I do not want to disrespect by trying to pronounce? So, Alan.
So, the artists' name are Robin and John Gumelius. They're a fantastic couple that collaborate. They live out on 26 acres in kind of a rural area in Washington, close to the coast, but sort of near Olympia. Oh, it's okay. And they're wanting to mentor an artist at their property. So the Tolomana Arts Colony is sponsoring a residency at their property for a regional artist to go and spend some time doing sculptures. It will be a sculpture residency only.
Yeah, that's unusual.
Yes.
But these two have been showing their work for many, many years.
They've been showing at Whitebird for at least 20, if not more years than that.
Right.
Probably a little bit more, maybe 22, 23 years.
Right.
Their collaboration is so highly integrated and they just keep evolving. So Robin started as a ceramic artist. John started as a metal welder. So that's their collaboration often involves ceramic and steel. John also does wood carving. So those are kind of the three main sculptural materials that they have studios. They have a wood-fired kiln. They've got regular kilns. They've got a wood studio, welding equipment, a ceramics studio. They also have little cabins that are kind of like tree houses, sort of built into the trees. They raised their four children on this property, and their children are now kind of off to college, except for the youngest. And so they really want to be able to share what they've built and created with other people and be able to help, like, mentor a creative spirit.
And they're lovely people, too.
Very lovely people.
Very
warm, generous.
I've met them. So who is eligible for this residency? How is that done?
There
is it one person or several?
Mostly one person, potentially, like if there was collaborative artists, could potentially work. You know, it would be best for somebody that still has a self-starter, that has a project idea in mind, or someone that would really benefit from learning. Let's say you're really into wood carving and metal, but you don't really know much about ceramics, or let's say you're really into ceramics, but you don't really know much about welding. They're really there to, like, help you figure out your vision and show you how to use some of the equipment and give you studio space. And they'll provide three meals a day. They do a lot of, like, foraging and their own cooking, and they grow vegetables and
herbs. Do you have to be an artist? I'm ready.
We're all ready, honestly, Kara. We all want to go. Tracy went to the property and did a visit with us, and
we all
fell in love.
right. So, but this is not for rank beginner artists.
I mean, I personally think it would be ideal for, you know, a very serious art student to maybe do, like, on their summer break, or to even see if they might be able to get some college credits by mentoring on something that they might, you know. I couldn't speak for the college. That'd have to be between an artist, student, and the instructor.
Right.
But they're really top-notch artists, and I really feel like they could provide an experience that might not be able to get in school, or perhaps someone that just graduated from school and wants to just take some time to focus on their vision before they get more into the workforce.
And learn some new skills.
Exactly. Yeah. And then also just kind of be mentored by professional artists that have been full-time professional artists for 25 years.
So not only do you get the art form, you also come to understand how it's possible to live a life making art, raising kids, foraging food, etc.
Exactly.
And this beautiful card. Is this for a particular show, or is this?
That card is a general card that we just give out to give people a little background information about the artist.
Got a great image of a piece that they've done. So again, what's the best way for people? Is it for
the Tolomana Arts Colony?
We'll also be listing.
But if they, you know, wanted to ask any specific questions, they could definitely go to Whitebird's website and go to their email address, info@whitebirdgallery.com. I would be happy to answer questions as well.
Okay. Now, this is first time, and so are you going to just wait and see what comes in and then at some point set a deadline, or do you have one already?
It's open until filled, so there's no hard deadline. The best information is really through the Tolomana Arts Colony website, because it talks more specifically about the residency. And it's in a bit of a rural location. So it's not close to, like, a town, so it really is somebody that wants to, like, focus and be isolated and not have the distractions of the city and that kind of thing.
Are you part of Tolovana Arts
Con? Yes, I'm on the board as well.
You are too. Mm-hmm. I suspected from the way you
talked. She's the vice president.
The plot thickens. See, when you know somebody for a while, you don't catch all their extras. Now, you also brought in this card from Spring Unveiling. This is all over Cannon Beach, May 1st through 3rd. Am I right that Whitebird will be taking part?
Yep, absolutely. There's all the galleries in Cannon Beach usually do a, you know, kind of the big opening of the season, new exhibitions. Artists come, they're there to talk or demonstrate and present their new work. It's a fun festival.
Getting the emails already. Yeah, Spring Unveiling and Stormy Weather are the two biggest in Cannon Beach. And the weather's usually better for Spring Unveiling, but it is wonderful just get there early so you can get rid of your car and start moving. And art in all of the galleries. For this, you might go to cbgallerygroup.com. That's Cannon Beach Gallery Group, cbgallerygroup.com for the information, May 1st through 3rd. And hopefully we'll get a chance to announce that more. What else is happening, my God, at Tolovana Arts Colony, which is, oh boy, who started the Tolovana Arts Colony? Yep, 15 seconds.
Billy and Michael.
Yes.
Billy and Michael.
Beloved Reverend Billy Hultz and Uncle Michael Burgess, and both of them sat in these two chairs. Michael,
Letters to Uncle Mike. Those books are still.
Yep, we've got
still a classic.
two books and two amazing artists and their buddy Steve McLeod and sadly all three of them are have maybe who knows where they are now making art, but the Tolovana Arts Colony has survived and thrived thanks to folks like you. So thank you so much. And again, folks, check this out. This is another opportunity. It's a little crazy. Everybody's offering residencies, but each one is completely different. And I want this one, quite frankly. However, I have no... if they offer dance, I could do it next time. Okay, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much, Carol. We really appreciate it.
And Tracy Abel and Alan Cantor. And it's time for me to go. KMUN, Astoria 91.9. KMUN.org.
Support for KMUN programming comes in part from the historic Liberty Theater in Astoria. From live shows to special events, it happens at the Liberty. For more information, visit libertyastoria.org.